From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 29th day of November 2016. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Dan O'Brien will be here to take a look at the agricultural sector with us. He's from Key State University out in Heston, Kansas. And then we'll take up the weather forecast with Don Day, a day weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Along the way, Gary Schnittke will join us. He has some projections for crop revenue on the farm for this year and some advice about the corn/soybean decision many of you are making right now. And we'll do all of that during this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this 29th day of November. It's a Tuesday afternoon. We're joined by Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Yes. How's Todd today? We had a turnaround Tuesday, didn't we?
We did have a turnaround Tuesday, and by golly, if you didn't make a soybean sale yesterday, hopefully you'll get another chance at it, because the numbers that keep coming out of Washington, D.C. keep looking really quite large. They released the early look at their projections 10 years out. What did it say for the 2017-18 crop year?
Well, I think, you know, they're saying 90 million acres of corn and 85.5 million acres of beans, 170.8 yield on the corn, a 47.9 yield on the beans, and the average price of $330 and $935. And I hate to say it, but that estimate is even short of Informa's numbers. They were 88.6 million acres of beans, 88.6 million. For corn, and 90.84 for the corn estimate. So, you know, they're even worse at that number. So it looks like maybe the $10 beans we were offered for fall delivery maybe be a good sale.
It might indeed. And if you can get close to that, 990 or something, you think that might be a decent sale up front too?
I think, you know, for your first percentage, I mean, remember, even with your crop insurance, there's 15% if you need to take the high level that's not insured. And, you know, we can make some money at the $10 level or $9.90 or whatever along the way with some decent yields. So I think for the first 10 to 15% that it's advisable to do now.
Okay, so there are extra acres in both USDA numbers and Informa's numbers that will be going to soybeans. I stopped upstairs and talked to Daryl Good and Gary Schnittke and was thinking about where those acres might show up. We'll have Dan O'Brien on from K-State later this afternoon out west. Is the thought process that the western growers did better this year than maybe the eastern Corn Belt growers, and the eastern Corn Belt growers are likely to switch more acres than those folks out west?
Well, I think the corn yields were better west of Mississippi than east of Mississippi this year, Todd. And I think that the bean yields were probably more outstanding in the east. So it's going to be awfully easy to maybe talk a few Eastern Belt growers into planting beans that did actually, they saw the yield increase more so this year than ever and at the higher price. So I think we're going to see some more bean acres here, especially in Indiana.
Okay, so you've already told me that the 15% not covered by the highest level of crop insurance, so if you've got 85%, that might be a good sale for soybeans. If you're going to switch and add, say, another 5% acreage or switch from corn to soybeans, would you want to cover those two?
That's what we've been recommending. You know, like I said, we've talked to people that were going a little heavier like that, and I says, okay, when we get to $10, make some cash sales on those. You know, that guarantees that you're going to have a profit on those extra acres you're switching over, because even we've got to have a real turnaround in the corn market to make it look as good as $10 beans looks.
What are you looking forward to through the rest of this year, through the end of the calendar year now?
Well, I think that, you know, we probably, today was the last day to get out of your December corn before possible deliveries. Tomorrow's first notice day. And we saw that fade into the sunset as we went into the close as far as the difference between the March and the December. And it was about 2.5 cents more to do it on the close than if you'd done it early in the morning today to roll that over. So I think we went down. Maybe we've hit some support here. The beans come off their lows on the close, and maybe we can see a little bit of bounce back on Wednesday to turn around the trend from here today. But the big news and what's really pushing the market today has been the crude oil, you know, down anywhere from $1.80 to $2 with the idea that Iran and Iraq aren't going to play nice at the OPEC meeting tomorrow, and they'll want the Saudis to take all the cuts, and we don't think that's going to go over real well. So that's why we've taken a lot of the steam out of the crude oil market, which helped the ethanol market, which in turn for the EPA's mandates here for next year and the extra biofuels that they were calling for sort of stepped a little bit on the oil situation, and that helped drive the beans down today besides everything else was going on.
Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate you being with us today. We'll talk with you again in 1 week.
All right. Thank you, Todd.
That, of course, is Wayne Nelson. He's with L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. In today's agricultural news, the AFBF, the American Farm Bureau Federation, has weighed in on the death of Fidel Castro and what it might mean to U.S.-Cuba relations. There's little that may change in the near term, thanks to the Farm Bureau, including the longstanding U.S. trade embargo that has greatly limited U.S. ag sales in the island nation. Key Cuban-American lawmakers favor continuing the embargo, and President-elect Donald Trump threatens to roll back Obama trade and travel reforms without human rights concessions from Cuba. The bottom line of all of this, thinks AFBF's trade advisor Dave Samuelson, is that Cuba could continue to just go elsewhere for its food needs.
They have been getting their food primarily from other countries. Of their $2 billion of food imports, we have roughly $150 million of that. We know we could expand a lot if we had more normalized trade relations, but that hasn't happened enough yet to really expand our opportunities to sell into the Cuban market.
Samuelson says the U.S. agricultural community will be watching political developments between the U.S. and Cuba very closely in the days to come. Let's stay on the international trade front. Officials in China are warning a potential trade war between the U.S. and China would not serve as a one-way street. The comments stem from the possibility President-elect Trump could impose tariffs on Chinese goods, sparking a feared trade war between the two nations. Beijing has signaled some optimism regarding the issue as Trump has backed off some other campaign pledges. Still, as Bloomberg reports, the message from China is that any move to tax Chinese imports would bring retaliation. The U.S. economy would take a hit, and America would damage its long-standing ties with Asia. China's Foreign Affairs Committee chair said a trade war is not something China wants, but while referring to Trump's campaign pledges regarding trade with China, warned it won't be one-way traffic. For now, Bloomberg speculates China has a two-pronged response to Trump: warn him of the consequences of unilateral action and accelerate efforts to secure an Asian-wide trade pact that does not include the United States. Well, let's move from the international to the national scene and from trade to regulations. Before President-elect Trump takes office next month, the Obama administration is working to issue as many as 98 final regulations. Politico reports 17 of those actions under review are considered economically significant, with an estimated economic impact of at least $100 million a year. Agencies under the Obama administration are rushing the final rules before a new Congress takes over next year, despite vows by Republicans in Congress to block many of the regulations. One of the more significant rules sets preliminary steps for the Environmental Protection Agency, EPA, to regulate methane emissions from existing oil and gas infrastructure. Also, the Bureau of Land Management's major rule on leases for wind and solar projects on federal land is expected before Obama leaves office. And finally today, the GAO, the Government Accountability Office, Monday claimed advanced biofuels are not likely to get the fuel market penetration the renewable fuel standard predicted. Online newspaper The Hill reports that means greenhouse gas emissions are unlikely to fall as much as predicted under the 2007 law. And that's a look at the day's agricultural news. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Gary Schnittke joins us, professor at the University of Illinois. He's in farm management, here to take a look at what the crop revenues for the 2016 season might be. We pretty much wrapped things up. You took a look at highly productive land in central Illinois, a corn-soybean split, 60% corn, 40% soybeans. Let's start with the full number, revenue to begin with, on both crops. How did it turn out?
So on corn, we're suggesting or estimating that gross revenue in corn will be $792 per acre. That includes crop revenue, our county payments, which are estimated at $20 for 2016, and a $10 crop insurance payment. And we're putting that in there because we're estimating the average, and that's, we usually get some crop insurance payments. But in any case, the $792 per acre is lower than last year, even though we're putting in a very high yield. We're using 231 bushels for corn average yield, which is the same as in 2014. But prices have come down, so revenues look like they will be down for corn in 2016 as compared to 2015.
And how about for the soybean acreage?
So for soybeans, we're estimating gross revenue at $718 per acre, which is up considerably from last year. We're putting in, again, very high yields for 2016, record-breaking yields, in fact, of 73 bushels per acre, and a price of $9.50, which is above last year and may actually turn out to be low as we continue to look at prices this year. But overall, revenue on corn or soybeans will be up from last year and will be much higher than total cost. So our bright spot for the 2016 year will be revenue and incomes from soybeans.
And when you combine the two, what do the numbers look like?
So when we combine the two, we get revenue halfway between the two, $762 per acre, which are above our cost estimates for that acre. And those cost estimates would be include a non-line cost and the average cash rent. So it's above that. We would estimate a positive return of about $19 per acre, which is better than last year, but still a low return number.
And this is better than projected earlier in the year, too.
Yeah, it's projected better than earlier in the year. And what's causing that strength is our very high yields, and in particular on soybeans, and the continuing strength in soybean prices. We're seeing good soybean prices that are high relative to corn prices, and that has increased the profitability of soybeans.
Still just a kind of get-by year for the farmer.
Get-by year, but better than could have been without those yields. Most farmers will probably stay about the same equity-wise, may still continue to see some working capital declines. Those working capital declines will be more pronounced for farms with more cash rent and higher cash rent levels, something we've been saying for the last several years. But in any case, better than 2015, but still not up to levels where we can say we're sustainable in the long run. We need to see some higher returns, particularly corn prices in the future.
Based on these numbers, what do you think about 2017?
2017, we're looking probably, if we were projecting 2017 for today, we would be much lower, because we would take away the ARC County payments. We would probably be projecting something closer to an average yield. Both our corn and soybean yields were, for Illinois, record highs, so we would be projecting something closer to trend. That would cause revenue to come down and probably be using 360 corn and, you know, 9-something soybeans, 950, 925. That would result in lower revenue for next year. So we're still in the mode of cutting cost and not out of the woods yet.
Your thoughts as a farm management specialist on the acreage battle? Many people believe that there will be more soybeans. I suppose you're thinking that's probably the right choice. How do farmers make the decision?
So, yeah, that's a good question, because what obviously farmers are concerned about, if I make this switch, well, if everybody makes a switch, my soybean prices go to $8.75. If you're doing budgeting right now, soybeans will look much more profitable than corn for 2017. What I would suggest doing is for those acres that you're thinking about switching, and let's say you've traditionally ran a 55% corn, 45% soybeans, now you're going to go 50-50. On those 5% of acres that you're switching to soybeans, lock in that soybean price. You know, as we're talking about that today, you could lock in $10, lock it in on those switched acres, and if that turns out to be your worst soybean sale for 2017, you'll be a happy person.
Hey, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Gary Schnitke is a farm management specialist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Dan O'Brien from K-State now joins us to talk about what's been happening in the Western Corn Belt. He's an agricultural economist. Dan, thanks for being with us. So let's start with the agricultural energies, and maybe you can compare ethanol from one side of the Corn Belt to the other.
It seems like ethanol prices are holding up pretty well in Kansas, and we're running a little bit behind where you're at there in Eastern Corn Belt, about $1.60 a gallon in our part of the world, whereas you're about $1.63 to $1.66, something like that. It's interesting to look at the differentials in corn prices and distillers grains. We're running a little bit lower, or I guess lower priced for corn than you all are there, but our distillers grain prices are just, oh, say $5-$10 per ton higher than where you're at. But overall, it is thought provoking with I guess the need to move corn through channels as much as possible, given where prices are at, that ethanol margins seem to be holding up decently. Again, the low corn prices certainly helping their ethanol sales prices as they stand, doing decently. The weak leg in that setup or in that structure of cost and returns is distillers' grain weakness, but overall, still ethanol. The ethanol industry seems to be holding its own and moving forward, and that's good news / great news for piles of corn and farmers looking for better prices down the road.
Is there any reason to be concerned about tomorrow's OPEC meeting and Iraq and Iran and their potential being stubborn about shutting down their spigots and what that might do to the price of crude oil and how it would affect ethanol and corn both?
In blunt, yes. Overall, we'll just have to wait and see, of course. But anything that would weaken the fuels market could have an impact on ethanol demand and ethanol prices. I guess we'll just have to wait and see, Todd. But I think at least domestically, with our plants as they stand right now, we've again, we're thankful that they've been holding up decently, and we'll see what these macro worldwide energy market moves may do to that.
And let's move to a different topic, agricultural acreage. USDA's released its projections today, and Informa numbers as well have been out. Both have said there will be more soybean acres. Have you thought about whether that'll be the case in Kansas or not?
In Kansas, we're on the fringe of the heart of the best soybean production areas. Eastern Kansas and Central, yes, we have some areas. Out where we're at, we're more concerned about what will happen with wheat acreage and likely to see a decrease there. Wondering about soybean, grain sorghum acreage holding up, probably decreases there as well with some of our insect and price issues. So it's not that we're an island out here, but I think our corn acreage may hold up better than some other people are thinking. For beans, no doubt we'll see some good bean acreage, especially under irrigation and in the more plentiful rainfall areas to the east. But we're limited, I think.
When it comes to wheat and the sorghum comes out, will that go to pasture or something else?
It'll go to feed grains, and the best land will go to soybeans.
Okay. Hey, thanks.
It'll go to corn mainly.
That's what I thought. Okay, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Tuesday afternoon. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Don Day is now here from Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Thanks for being with us, Don. Can you start with weather here in the Midwest, please?
Well, first of all, we're going to see not a whole lot of weather in the Midwest, although we're going to have a lot of weather to talk about, but it's either going to be staying to the west or northwest of us in the Midwest here, or it's going to be staying down to the south, at least here as we go through the next several days. It is going to be a little bit colder. We have some colder weather coming out of the northern plain states, but not much precipitation. For folks down south where they're suffering in the drought and the fire situation, there's good news tonight and tomorrow. Rain will spread across Tennessee, Alabama, Mississippi, and Georgia. Colder air comes in behind that. Where the weather for the Midwest gets a lot more interesting is next week. Now, this is going to be especially true beginning late Monday into Tuesday, but especially the middle to the end of next week. Colder, more winter-like weather is likely going to move in. So not a lot of action in the short term. Long term, things get a lot more interesting.
Next week on Tuesday into Wednesday, I'll be headed to the Van Trump Conference in Kansas City. What do road conditions look like, you think, by then?
That could be a real problem. I can tell you that at least some of our long-range analysis is pinpointing a fairly large storm right in the middle of the country and right in the middle where you want to drive as we get into Tuesday and Wednesday of next week and then lingering into Thursday. So you're going to want to keep an eye on that one, Todd.
I will indeed be careful. Speaking of which, I think the Dakotas are getting a little snowfall.
They are. In fact, the Northern Plains right now, over the last 24 hours, has received some snowfall across the Dakotas, along with a lot of wind and much, much colder conditions. And while the amounts of snow haven't been terribly heavy, there's been a large part of those Northern Plains that are really seeing their first taste of a large winter storm this season.
Finally, Don, if you could turn your attention to South America, where things are a whole lot warmer and they're in the midst of their growing season. Any rainfall for Argentina and Brazil?
Well, as we go down south of there, let's take a look at precipitation first. It looks to be a little bit dry in Argentina. There's not a lot of prospects for any widespread rain, just spotty rains. Brazil, the growing areas there are going to do a little bit better, but it's been fairly good in terms of average precipitation and temperatures down there, but it is starting to get a little bit dry here, at least in the short term.
Hey, thanks, Don.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather. He's out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for this Tuesday afternoon. Remember, you can always pick up his comments, all of our programming for the most part, online at willag.org, willag.org. If you're a Twitter user, follow me at Commodity Week. If you use iTunes podcast, look up both the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, and you can find those in the Google Play Store as well. You'll also find them on Stitcher. We try really hard to deliver the programming content to you in as many ways as possible. If you're an end user, an elevator, or some other place that would like to have our programming embedded right into your website, just give me a call and I'll help you out on that end too at 217-333-9697.